Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Our text for this day is Matthew chapter 22. Here again, the portion that reads, "Then Jesus said to them, therefore render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's." When they heard it, they marveled. You may be seated. So I ask you this morning, is there an intersection between God and politics? Each seems to be on the opposite pole right now, and I want you to consider the following questions. Was Obama the savior of the nation? Is President Trump too divisive to be president? Is the Biden ticket the answer to our country's problems? Has the church become irrelevant in politics and the situation of COVID-19? The world in which we Christians live gives us all kinds of answers to these questions. I ask you, what are we to do? What are we to say? But before we go ahead and give our conclusions, let us consider Jesus' answer to the question, tell us then, what do you think? Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not? And then make your application. Now I want you to think about how this question was asked. Matthew records the situation, then the Pharisees went and plotted how to entangle Jesus in his words. And they sent their disciples to him along with the Herodians. You see, the question was designed to trick and to entangle Jesus and then finally discredit him. Sounds like politics today, as each side goes ahead and tries to ensnare the other in their opponent's words and history. But for us, the real issue is the relationship between church and state. Now consider who is asking the question. The Herodians are there, the group that is named after those who supported the line of Herods from Herod the Great that ruled Judea and also, or Galilee, from the birth of Jesus. They had made themselves allies of Jews and allies of the Roman Empire. A dangerous and delicate balance for someone who was not of the line of David. They were artists who enforced their mixture of church and state to have their way and to stay in power. And then we have the Pharisees. Oh, they didn't see a distinction between the Old Testament church and the Old Testament state, the Davidic king. There was no place for Rome or the Herods. No, they did not belong. But the Pharisees simply and politically tolerate and use both sides to go ahead and wait until they could finally get rid of them. Yes, the Pharisees and the Herodians, they actually are enemies of each other. The leaders of the Pharisees distanced themselves. Oh, they would not go themselves, but they sent their disciples. Why then do we find them working together to question Jesus? You see, they have a common enemy, Jesus. Jesus is upsetting their place in society. The Herods are not of the line of David, but Jesus is. The present Herod, caught in adultery, then has John the Baptizer executed at the request of his adulterous wife. But Jesus, he has no sin. The Pharisees saw Jesus tearing down their hundreds of years of man-made traditions to maintain their place. But Jesus brings the Word of God. Oh, the Pharisees and the Herodians simply follow the old rule of war, the same one used by the United States to justify their relationship with communist Russia during World War II. Your enemy and my enemy, or I mean the enemy of my enemy, is my ally. Oh, the web of the Pharisees. Even entangled Rome to be their unwilling ally. We read in John chapter 19, from then on Pilate sought to release Jesus, but the Jews cried out, "If you release this man, you are not Caesar's friend. Everyone who makes himself a king opposes Caesar." And then they cried out, "Away with him! Away with him! Crucify him!" Pilate said, "Should I crucify your king?" The chief priests answered, "We have no king but Caesar." And so Pilate delivered Jesus over to them to be crucified. Jesus has become the common enemy. Pilate is backed into a corner. Pilate believes that in order to keep peace and to keep his place, he has no choice but to punish and to crucify Jesus. But Jesus has already told him, my kingdom is not of this world. The world. The political world, government, even religious government can be manipulated by sinful human nature and Satan himself, even when it is unwilling to become an enemy of Christ. And so becomes our enemy as well. So how are we Christians to operate in a world we find opposed to Christ? We live in a world in where choices that seem better from a political perspective are opposed to our faith. Listen to Jesus' answer again. Therefore, render unto Caesar what is Caesar's and to God's what is God's. This answer to many governments and even our own could rejoice in. There are those who see church and state so separated that they have nothing to do with each other, or maybe even over. Like Pilate, they think they can go ahead and just wash their hands and ignore the church, especially Christ. But what about us? We as Christians cannot. Even though we belong to Christ, we still live in this world. We still have to live and deal with government. Why? Because even though it may be corrupt, it still belongs to God, the one who created it. We heard one example in the Old Testament that even government belongs to God, and God uses it to serve his people. Look at King Cyrus. King of Persia in Isaiah 45, over 200 years before Cyrus is born, God said he's going to use him to deliver God's people and to provide for them. And Cyrus wouldn't even know God. Yet God blessed him and used him as his instrument and even calls him God's anointed. Paul reminds us that we are to submit to our government. In Romans chapter 13, let every person be subject to governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God. And those that exist have been instituted by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed. And those who resist will incur judgment. For rulers are not terror to good conduct, but to bad. Would you have no fear of the one who is in authority? Then do what is good. You will receive his approval. For he is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. He is a servant of God, an avenger who carries out God's wrath on the wrongdoer. But do not have confidence in government, or even church government. Our confidence is in Christ, who is the Lord. He is our Lord. He is Lord of the church. and also Lord of the world, for the world belongs to him as well, and he bends it and uses it for his purpose and for the blessing of his people. Now, we may not understand God's ways and why certain people get elected and other people do not. But we have this promise, as St. Paul records for us in Romans chapter 8, 28, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. Just take, for example, the Jewish leaders. Even though the Herodians thought the world would be a and they and the Herodians thought that the world would be a better place without Jesus, the Roman government, represented by Pilate, thought it was better to let Jesus be crucified. And yet, this is all according to God's set plan. And that Jesus' death becomes the sacrifice for all of the world's sin. And death could not hold him. But God the Father has accepted his sacrifice and raised him from the dead. And so it is, God has government actually serving the church. But I ask you again, how then shall we live? Each believer in Christ, as we serve under government, we hear from Galatians chapter 6, verse 10. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, especially to the household of faith. You know, this is very interesting because it is parents who have to work with both governments, the kingdom of the left hand and the kingdom of the right hand. On one hand, they are to go ahead and bring their children up in the love and the admonition and the faith of the Lord, right? And yet, on the other hand, they have to curb the old sinful nature because you have two jobs, right? One, to protect your children from the world. Oh, yes, and the other one, to protect the world from your children. And so it is, to bring them up in faith towards God and to be good citizens in order to love the neighbor. Parents are administrators of both kingdoms, the kingdom of the left and the right, of government and church. Now, I said you may not understand God's ways, but you see, God isn't the problem. It is our sin and our sinful nature. Just as you have to remember that there are both good and bad parents, there are also good and bad government. And yet there are times that God even uses bad government to lead his people to repentance, just as was that God delivered his people into the hands of the Babylonians. And so Daniel, as you read in the book there, he prays for the forgiveness of himself and his people. And yet, while they are in Babylon, we see God's people serving the pagan government. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Daniel serve under Nebuchadnezzar. Mordecai, Esther serve under the Persian king of Artaxerxes. If God's people had no benefit for government, they would have never been included to be able to serve. Yet God has his people serve, even unbelievers, and they are blessed because of our service. In our service, God's people and God's promise of the Messiah, or I should say, in their service, God's people and God's promise of the Messiah is and was preserved. Now, if we have bad government, let us examine ourselves and our heart to see if God is leading us to repentance. And if after being forgiven, we still have a bad government, God has given us the opportunity to serve those who suffer along with us. For our salvation does not depend on our government, but again, on Christ. Just as our salvation does not depend on what our parents were like, but on Christ. For we must obey God rather than men. Therefore, we love because he first loved us and gave himself up as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. For in Christ, we can never lose. We always win. If we have good government, we're blessed. However, if government would turn against us and Christ, or even come to the point of putting us to death, we still belong to Christ. For whether we live or whether we die, we belong to Christ. Amen. The peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.
Amen.
For information about our congregation, for service times and schedule, please visit our website at www.standrewlcms.org. Thank you for listening to Sermons Preached at St. Andrew Lutheran Church in West Fargo, North Dakota, a member of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.